comparing our nation with the nation of Israel in the book of Judges. After Tim Ingram was here a couple weeks ago, he made a statement in either a Sunday school lesson or his message. It got my mind to thinking about it. You know, you would have thought after the book of Joshua that the next book in the Bible would have been one of victory and, boy, the nation of Israel just growing and expanding and serving God, but the next book is the book of Judges. And the theme of the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, we see that in our nation today, don't we? When we get away from moral absolutes, and I had looked up some studies and all of that, but I don't have the peace or the direction to bring that one. So some of you guys, you're going to think, man, I've heard this one before. Yeah, you've heard parts of it, but yeah, you're probably right. Celebrate freedom. What do we give America? We celebrate. We celebrate. Men and women that founded the nation were men and women that, for the most part, were seeking something. It has been said that one nation came for gold, another nation came for spices. Many of the early settlers came for freedom to serve God. We've kind of missed that today. The greatest freedom that we can enjoy today is the freedom to assemble, to worship God, serve Him. I am shocked by the amount of hatred that is happening in our nation today concerning our nation, its founding, its forefathers, its foundation. Since the end of World War II, we as Americans have lived without the concern of having our freedom challenged here on our own shores. September 11th, 2001 kind of changed that a little bit. We realized that we could be attacked in our own nation. But you know, we've always been a people that demanded freedom. Patrick Henry writes, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Samuel Adams stated, "The right of freedom is a gift of God Almighty. The principles are freely given in the New Testament." Nobody's born patriotic. It must be instilled through habitual practice. Each generation must rekindle its allegiance to its country and reverence for those of our nation's past. If not, we'll forget those things. One is written, "How do we preserve our heritage for future generations?" It would be simple if mason jars could be filled and labeled "the blood shed" while the star-spangled banner was written, or tears and sweat from those who fought against Nazism, or the breath of those who gave all in some Middle Eastern desert trying to free a people from a tyrannical dictator. But those accomplishments cannot be bottled for future generations. Our national heritage must be preserved within the human heart. Each generation must come to the place of appreciation for the sacrifices made and determined to pass them on to the next generation. We've been given great freedoms in this nation because of God's design and the sacrifices of many. May I challenge you today to let us make the most of those freedoms. We have a freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own heart. Let us determine today to worship God. No one is born patriotic. it must be instilled. No one is born a Christian. That must be taught by another Christian. In other words, Christianity, like patriotism, must be instilled in each succeeding generation. Sometimes we look and we cry out and we wonder where patriotism has gone. That ought not to bother us near as much as where's Christianity gone. In the text this morning, we'll see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, let's read the passage. John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching. And as he's teaching, there are some that are conflicting and battling against what he's saying. By the way, anytime the words of God have been proclaimed throughout history, there have always been the detractors. There's always been that group that says that's not so, or that's wrong, or it's not for everybody. So all the stuff you read today on Facebook and Twitter and wherever else that attacks Christianity, it's nothing new. It's just the social media today. But it's always been there. It was there in Jesus' day. My goodness, if they would attack Jesus, why would we think we would be free from it? We must defend what we believe or why we believe. Jesus is preaching and teaching. And he says in verse number 30, I know the text on the screen says 31, but I like verse number 30. And it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And that a nice thought. He spake these words. He was speaking truth. Many believed on him. Christianity is found in freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And in verse number 32, if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, I would encourage you to do that. Highlight it if you have your tablet or your phone or whatever, however you read your Bible. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is truth? Jesus said, in fact, his disciples asked him. He told them in John 14, he said, men, I'm going away. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And since I'm going there, I'll come back and get you. And Thomas, which we know Thomas is the doubting disciple, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, in one of the greatest verses in the Bible, he said, I am the way. And then he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, here in this verse, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, or they answered him. There again, they're the detractors. There's the social media pundits, the ones that will come out of the woodwork. They answered him. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be free? By the way, they've forgotten their history. They were in bondage on several occasions. But Jesus isn't talking about their nation's history. He's talking about their spiritual issues. Jesus answered in verse number 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of the sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Verse number 36, if the Son, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus did not come to this world to bring political reform. He knew that men could live in the freest land in the world and still be enslaved to sin. No amount of reform will bring about true righteousness. We've tried it in the past. We've tried to outlaw different things. And what we don't need today is a reformation. What we truly need is a transformation. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible challenges us to put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. One man that Jesus confronted, he talked to him and he said, I don't know if I can know what truth really is. And I feel like it's kind of what's going on in our world today. People are searching for so many different things, and they're searching for it in so many of the wrong places. Agnosticism says you just can't know who God is. Pluralism says it's all truth. Those used to be the guiding ones that we saw in our society, but now we have a new woke culture. The woke culture says this: God takes on whatever form I want him or her to take on. The woke culture says, my God obeys me, I don't obey him/her. But Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, said this. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The freedoms that we enjoy as Americans are at best a temporary freedom. For a freedom that was earned by man can be lost by man. And frankly, we're seeing many of the freedoms that we've long taken for granted being eroded little by little in our world today. But I read this years ago, and I thought about it often, and it pops up in a couple different places and things that I read. But the writer writes this. It says, even if I am in the darkest prison cell imaginable, bound by chains, facing death for my refusal to recant the Word of God, I will still be free because of my spiritual freedom has been bought and paid for the One who is my Creator, my hope, my Savior, and my Redeemer. I have a freedom that this world cannot take away. All the world, unfortunately, cannot experience the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. But every human being on planet Earth can experience the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. I'll give you three thoughts today about freedom. Number one, there's a price. There's a price. Amber sang about it. You go by the cemeteries, see the white crosses, soldiers that have given their lives for our freedoms. The soldiers that have come back, that their lives have never been the same because of the horrors of battle that they faced. There's a price. Well, there's a price for spiritual freedom. Freedom has always and always will be purchased with a price. The freedom, though, which Jesus talks about, is no different. It had to be purchased. There's a sacrificial price. The price that has been paid for our freedom as Christians has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. I see him here it is. I'm going to punch it and say, there it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's a sacrificial price. It's a redemptive price. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. It's not something that can fade away. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. So I see the price of spiritual freedom, but then number two today, I see the way to it. The way. The video we watched today, they talked about, what should we give America? Well, maybe we ought to just enjoy the freedoms that have been given to us. There's a way. But how do I experience spiritual freedom? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In just a couple of weeks, we'll set up a tent at the fair, and as we'll share the gospel with hundreds of people, we'll talk to thousands of people, literally. Many of them are trapped in a system of religion that teaches some types of works. We'll hear common things like this. One person will come by and say, well, I was born a Christian. Or I've always been a Christian. Or the biggest one is this, usually, well, I was baptized, and they'll give you the date. Or I took communion at this time, or my mama said I was, or my daddy said I was, or, and they missed this. It's by grace. It's not of works. See, the relationship with Christ is a choice. The choice that many have to make is this: am I going to follow the rules and regulations of a religion, or am I going to develop a personal relationship with the God of the universe? Grace. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God. Grace is maybe something that people in our culture today need to learn to give a little bit more to others. A little more grace. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By grace, by faith. I read a story about two little boys who are standing on the edge of a frozen pond. And I didn't understand this until we lived here a while, and every year our pond freezes over at our house. Of course, it's not very deep to begin with, but it freezes over, and our goats, they won't get out there. They're scared of it. But we have two horses, and those two silly horses will walk out on that frozen ice because they like to eat snow. And snow gathers in clumps on that, and I keep wondering, Tina says, they're going to fall in. And I keep wondering the same thing. How do you get a horse out of a frozen pond? If there's some new type of meat next year for the 4th of July picnic, you guys will understand what happened. Amen? But two little boys were standing on the edge of a frozen pond, and one little boy said, I believe it'll hold you. Another one said, you believe it'll hold me, but what about you? He says, I don't have that much faith. There are a whole lot of people today that are pretty close to being saved, but they haven't exercised faith. They've not exercised the faith that comes from hearing and applying the Word of God. God's love draws us to His salvation. But we have to exercise faith. We have to exercise a belief. A few years ago, a man made a visit to Patrick Henry's farm at Red Hill. Patrick Henry is one of those that we would call our founding fathers. And he saw his tombstone as well as the tombstones of several of his family members. And there in that farmhouse, they had different documents. And one of them was the will of Patrick Henry. And in his will, he wrote this: there's one more thing I wish I could leave you all. The salvation of Jesus Christ. With this, though you had nothing else, you could be happy. And without this, though you have all things, you could never be happy. There's a man that says, I've lived my life, I've seen God do some amazing things, but the most important thing is that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Faith. No church, no personal effort can save you. Only by putting your complete faith and dependence in God can you be saved. It's like if you ever walk out on that frozen pond. There comes a point where you have to put all your weight out. It's like when you guys sat down in those pews today. You had to put your whole weight on it. It's like whenever you get on an elevator, not one foot on, one foot off. It's either all in or it's all out. It's like if you get on an airplane, if your airplane flight is not canceled, you're either all on or you're all off. There's no halfway. There's a gift that comes along with spiritual freedom. We enjoy a lot of gifts because of the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans today. We travel freely from one place to the other. We still have, hopefully, free elections. We still are a land that is ruled by a constitution. They're gifts. But you know, those are just temporary. There's a gift of spiritual freedom. The first one is this: forgiveness. Forgiveness. What happens when somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ? Look with me in verse number 34 of the passage again. Jesus answered them, "Verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Why do I need forgiveness? Because you have a need. What is a need? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How many of you have felt like you have learned how to wash clothes better now that you've gotten a little older than whenever you were younger? I mean, you've learned that a little bit, right? I read the story. In fact, I can remember when our kids came over to the house. They came home from school or wherever. They brought all their clothes. Now, first of all, I didn't realize that they could have so many dirty clothes. But I remember reading about let's just call this one a college freshman, okay? A college freshman. A college freshman came home from mom and dad's home, or came home from college to mom and dad's house, and they brought their clothes in. And their clothes for the last week or two was all wrapped up in the sheet from their bed. Which, if you have had kids come home from college, you'll understand. That's how they bring it sometimes. And it's like, really? That's all of your clothes. That's your dress clothes, all of them together. Yes, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about different types or different colors or different textures. They just wash it all together. Blankets with towels with dress shirts. But this college freshman had it all wrapped up like a hobo. How many of you know what a hobo is, right? Hobo, somebody used to, you know, never mind. All right. That was back before we had politically correct names, but a hobo. And, you know, had the bag with their clothes in it. You know, the college freshman walks in the door and plops that thing down and says, I need to wash my clothes. So what do? They're a college freshman. They've been in college and they know everything. So what they do is they take that entire bundle and they push it into the washing machine. put a little laundry detergent in there and turn that dude on. It washes and washes and washes. And whenever they finish, they pull that bundle out and they shove it into the dryer. Probably without cleaning out the lint filter, by the way, but they push that thing in there, turn it on, let it run for a while, and then shazam, it's done. They pull out the whole bundle, put it in their car, they're ready to go back to college. Guess what happens when they get to college? They find out something. Their clothes got wet and they got dry, kind of. But because they were all bundled together, they could never get clean. You know, sometimes people are like that. Sometimes they come to God and they have this little bundle. And they refuse to allow God to open it up. And they just say, just take me like I am and just, I don't want to open up to you, God. I don't want you to get inside of my life. I just want you to clean me up like I... God says, I can't unless we open up. Unless I begin to take your life apart and you let me clean every part of it. So many people miss the benefit of forgiveness because they don't realize that they really have a need. Jesus says in verse number 36, He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what do I get because of salvation? What are some of the gifts? I get forgiveness. That's great. I like forgiveness. But also we get eternal life. You know, all of us are going to live somewhere forever. Just some's going to live forever dying in hell, and others are going to live forever in heaven. A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, and without honors, and without learning, without friends, but he can never go to heaven without Jesus. Amber told me, she said, Dad, you need to make this slide more than one. Did you do that, Amber? No, you didn't. All right. For God so loved the world. Some of you had to squint. By the way, whenever you squint, it helps you see better. In case you guys didn't know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But here's the phrase. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. One of the gifts of eternal life is, one of the gifts of spiritual freedom is eternal life. Let me ask you today, are you free? Are you free? The devil wants people to remain in bondage. Christians that have been saved, the devil wants to drag you back into the bondage of old sin. Are you experiencing true freedom today? Not just when we set off fireworks and we can go where we want, we all because we live in America, but are you experiencing true freedom? Are you really free today? Has there ever been a time in your life that you personally have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, why not today? That's the greatest freedom that you could ever receive. But I'm afraid that many are in bondage today to something that is sinful. Christians trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they're involved in something that they shouldn't be in. Today, why don't we experience real freedom? Today would be a good day for God's people to begin to pray for their nation. If you've not prayed for your nation lately, you ought to. Let me ask you, How many of you believe that God can save anybody? You believe that? I do. When's the last time you prayed for our president to be saved? It's obvious that he's not. When's the last time you prayed for Nancy Pelosi to be saved? It's obvious that she's not. Could you imagine the difference it would make if some of those high political leaders truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Oh, I could just see Facebook would mock them and all that, but can you imagine? You say, well, that it's happened in the past. History has several examples of people that were just as wicked as those leaders are that God saved. I fear sometimes that we as Christians, we've fallen under the bondage of the devil saying, it can't be done anymore. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we break out of that today and simply say, you know what? I'm going to ask God for something miraculous. For the sake of our nation, we need to pray for God to bring revival and to work some miracles. But I feel sometimes it's not happening because we don't have the faith that it can happen. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I struggle in that area. Maybe today is a good day. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want to be free today. I want to be free from the influences of the devil. I want to be free from the restrictions that the devil tries to place on me. And I want to live for God. Heads bowed, eyes closed.